Hello, and welcome to this IBR Extra, a podcast from the Iowa Business Report. I'm Jeff Stein. In the 44th edition of our program, which aired during Halloween weekend 2020, we learned about a unique Northeast Iowa entity that marked its first decade of work in October. In that time, the Winnesheek Energy District has compiled an impressive record of development focused on energy transition, the creation of hundreds of jobs in the area, and helping the community attract millions of dollars in investment while saving millions in energy costs. Andy Johnson is a Decorah native who founded the Winnesheek Energy District.
Winnesheek Energy District is a nonprofit organization right now covering essentially Winnesheek County, though we actually work well beyond our county borders. The idea came about a decade or so ago when a bunch of local folks, farmer, banker, college folks, we were all essentially having conversations here around the coffee shop about how we could invest in locally owned clean energy. A lot of businesses, the city of Decorah, others, Luther College, had been doing important and good things, but this question was, how can we sort of move the whole community forward as we were seeing the opportunities for locally owned, both efficiency and solar was just starting to come on the horizon. We settled on an organization. Some folks had said, hey, let's start a Decorah sustainability-type organization, and myself and some others said, you know, well, wait a minute, we don't even live in town. This isn't just about town. Can we do something that has broader coverage? And we settled on a countywide model, and we called it the Energy District, loosely based off of the Soil and Water Conservation District model. So I had worked with USDA for a while prior to moving back here to the home farm where I grew up, and I had worked in conservation. And soil and water districts are a really innovative way to provide local leadership in partnership with state and federal agencies and to bring resources down to bear on those local challenges of conservation, challenges and opportunities. So we said, hey, that's a model that we could use. There really isn't a model that shows how we can do locally owned clean energy with local leadership, local technical assistance. And so let's try that. Let's try that here. And so we formed as a nonprofit because soil and water districts are quasi-governmental. They're sort of authorized by state governments. They're really low bureaucracy and relatively low cost. They're quasi-governmental. We don't have that authorization for energy districts. It's one of the things we're thinking about and talking to some policymakers about. But at this point, we're a nonprofit. And there are another 8 nonprofit incorporated energy districts around eastern Iowa now, and that network is growing. So that's how we got going.
So it sounds not only like this is still a fairly unique undertaking, but you were the first, if not one of the very first, to have this idea that has been replicated successfully elsewhere.
We were the very first to start this idea of an energy district, again, along those lines of soil and water conservation districts. There are, of course, other sustainability organizations around the country, mostly in communities. Most of them do education and other related projects and do some good work. But yeah, on the model that we're looking at, we were certainly the first. And our focus, too, we certainly do a lot of education, but we really have focused, like soil and water districts, on the technical assistance side. So we really try and do the technical analysis. We call it energy planning. Energy auditing that works, actually gets the job done. We do a lot of that with homes and farms and businesses, both looking at energy efficiency as well as the opportunities for investing in renewables like solar, which has really been on a tear up here.
Obviously, a lot of people have been talking about sustainability, have been talking about an energy plan, whether it is to incorporate so-called new forms, whether it is phasing out older forms. Show us results. Within that first 10 years of the Winnesheek Energy District, what are some numbers that are going to get some people's attention, particularly with regard to business and industry?
Sure. Yeah, we have, like I say, we do a lot of work one-on-one, technical assistance with businesses, farms, and households. And so because we're at our 10-year anniversary, we've been running numbers, and I have some. And we've served directly with technical assistance probably 1,400 customers just in Winnesheek County. Now, this is in a rural Iowa county of just 20,000 or so people, small town. The investment numbers we've seen documented now, about 18 now, probably make it $20 million invested in locally owned clean energy. So that's energy efficiency and locally owned renewables, mainly solar. This is locally owned, not utility owned. Of that $20 million of investment, we're calculating over $35 million of local energy savings, wealth creation and retention, and using some pretty conservative methods. I'm not big on touting job creation numbers by the thousands, but using some pretty conservative economist methodologies, we calculate about 250 jobs created either upfront or over the time of this sort of these energy savings. So those are some pretty big numbers, and just more specifically on solar, for example, we now have over 350 locally owned solar systems in Winnesheet County, just a small town, rural Iowa county. That's a lot of solar. It took a lot of money, a lot of investment, a lot of jobs to put it in. It's taking a lot of contractors at will to maintain and upkeep it, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. That process is accelerating, and we're rolling with more solar plus efficiency projects every year.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but you're citing these numbers, and we're not talking about Linn or Johnson or Polk counties. We're talking about Winnesheet County. There's no reason to think that, again, those same results, if you had the same spirit behind it in other places, couldn't be replicated in many of these other places.
Absolutely. And it is starting to be replicated. Like I say, there are 8 more energy districts. Many of them have been working hard on these issues. We actually have had more solar, not just per capita, but outright than those other counties you mentioned, though they're catching up, and urban areas now with large populations are really starting to see growing investment. But even our neighboring counties here in northeastern Iowa, Howard, Alamakee, Clayton, even more rural and lower population than Winnesheet, have really significant growing solar markets right now and energy efficiency markets. Solar is sexier than energy efficiency, I guess you could say. But all of this work really builds on itself. It's a contagion, which is in a good way.
What are some of the challenges that you still face when you talk to people about this topic up in your neck of the woods?
Any potential skepticism of renewable energy or energy efficiency, whether they're good investments, that skepticism is dying down pretty fast. There are certainly folks that question and should, you know, what's a good investment and what's not. But the idea that renewable energy, you know, is somehow left-wing or otherwise too green or not Iowan is, you know, ridiculous and thankfully disappearing, at least in our counties, as the consensus grows on, look, here's the economic impact, and it's big, and it's going to last for generations of investing in locally owned renewables. One of the challenges continues to be the fact that, interestingly, we've seen a lot more investment in dollar-wise in solar than in energy efficiency. We have worked on energy efficiency from day one, and we work on it every day that we're here. And the opportunities are always there, whether it's for the low-hanging fruit, the really, really highly cost-effective stuff, or the things that take more investment on buildings, you know, whole envelope and big mechanical systems, and those take a lot of investment. One of the challenges is financial. It takes quality technical professionals to do the energy planning, the energy auditing, with homes, farms, and businesses. Those funds don't come easily. They're available at the state level through our state energy efficiency programs, which are ratepayer funded. And one of the real opportunities that we see is to sort of link those programs with local professionals through energy districts and otherwise. And then we could provide even more and better technical assistance to more of our farms and homes and businesses. So we're working on that.
Are you where you thought you might be 10 years ago when this all started?
We just had some dreams 10 years ago. You know, starting a nonprofit, really, depending on your attitude, isn't that much different than starting just a small business. I'm a farmer, too. I run a small business. And just like most small business startups, most nonprofits don't last 5 years. So we really didn't try to have really high hopes. We did think we were creating a model that maybe could be replicated, but we felt like before we just preach that to the universe, we have to actually just put boots on the ground and have an impact here. Thankfully, that started to happen. We built a lot of strong local partnerships, and we put some boots on the ground, started to see investment. And once that happened, we didn't really have to start going too far in preaching the model because our neighbors were coming to us. So starting in about 2016, we were working with Clayton County. The champions over there decided they wanted to do something like this, so they started an energy district. And Howard County was next, Dubuque County after that. So yeah, we did start to see the local impacts, and then we started to see the network, and that's been wonderful. It's also its own challenge. We now have an association of clean energy districts in Eastern Iowa, well, an Iowa association. You know, we work hard, actually, because we're the original, and we've got the most resources at this point. We put a lot of work into that association and helping the others get going as well.
So I just asked you about whether you thought you'd be at this point from 10 years after the start. Any idea where this goes in the next 10 years?
Well, we don't want to take our eyes off the ball of the importance of local investment. Iowa, especially Iowa's rural counties, really need to build that economic development, to invest in ourselves. And I grew up right here milking cows on a dairy farm in Winnesheek County. Was away for 20 or so years, but it's a great place to live, and came back. So we need to be doing this, working hard in our counties. At the same time, the model really does seem to have legs, and if it could gain a footing in policy in terms of some linkage with those energy efficiency programs, for example, to channel some important dollars to do the work in many, many counties, and then if policymakers thought it was a model, deserving model, something like the soil and water districts in terms of local ownership and local leadership, then yes, this idea, homegrown right here in Northeast Iowa, could spread throughout Iowa and beyond, and we'd be thrilled at that. But we're going to try and stay focused as well on what we can do for our counties and communities.
That's got to be very gratifying work for you.
It is. It's really important. It's not easy, but nothing is. That's worth it.
Andy Johnson, founder and director of the Winnesheek Energy District. Learn more online at energydistrict.org. We spoke by phone on October 26th. The Iowa Association of Business and Industry is a supporter of the Iowa Business Report radio program and podcast. The Iowa Business Report airs weekly on dozens of radio stations across the state of Iowa, with the podcast posted right here every week, along with additional IBR extras and IBR business profiles. I'm Jeff Stein for the Iowa Business Report.